Radio Sport.
Hello, hello, sports fans, and happy Friday to you. And what better way to kick off the weekend than with all the sporting highlights of your sporting week? So, coming up on the show today, the Three Peaks is back on track after being postponed last weekend because it was so misty you couldn't actually see any peaks. But this weekend, we try again.
We've had a little word with the powers that be, and I think the sun is going to shine this weekend.
And when I say we, I mean you. Also, Harry Payne becomes the first local driver to compete in the Sidecar World Championships in 14 years.
Oh, it was very different, very different. It took some getting used to, let me tell you.
And I have got loads more to tell you about, but the jingle is coming to an end, so you'll have to wait. Yes, welcome along to Friday Sport Preview. Thanks very much, as always, for having me on and being here with me to keep me company. Or if you're tuning in for the very first time, welcome along. It is lovely to have you here. I do hope you've had a delightful week. How could I start Friday Sport Preview today without Mark Cavendish? He has gone and won his fourth stage in this year's Tour de France, equaling the best ever performance by Eddy Merckx made almost half a century ago.
Cavendish gets there! He punches the air! Win number four, and now they'll have to say the name out loud because Mark Cavendish draws level with the great Eddy Merckx.
I've won a stage of the Tour de France. That is what I dreamed of as a kid. If any one of my wins can inspire them kids to ride the Tour de France or the Tour de France Femmes next year when they grow up, then that's what means the most to me, I think.
Both have now won 34 stages. Cav has two further opportunities in the Tour to break the record, the final one being the showpiece sprint in Paris. Now, I've got some archery for you. The Isle of Man's very own Katniss Everdeen has been smashing bullseyes. Nope, not that type of bullseye, thank you. The legendary Manx archer Leslie Slight has added a new English record to her ever-growing list of accolades. She made the record-breaking performance in the Marked Forester Round at the England Field Association Spring Championships. Not only that, she also set a course record in the Hunter Round. However, it hasn't been an easy point to get to. After 20 months out because of the pandemic, Leslie said she found the transition back into competitive archery a lot harder than she was expecting.
I haven't been shooting that well. Unfortunately, in April was my first big competitions. I hadn't actually competed for 20 months prior to that, and both were Great Britain selection shoots. So I put too much pressure on myself and I didn't actually get the qualification scores, which I was capable of getting. So I had that, and the English 3D champs again was another GB qualification shoot. So in practice, fine, training great, but in competition, I was getting a lot of target panic, locking off the target, not getting to full draw. But luckily, Sean Griffiths, who's the Isle of Man's sports aid psychologist, did a lot of work with me. We had Zoom meetings and really helped me out, and I slowly progressed. I just got through competition slowly progressing, so the last competition I actually felt I was getting more like myself. My shooting was smoother. I wasn't thinking about the shot, more about where to aim, which is that's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Leslie Slight speaking to Sean Cowper there, and a huge congratulations to her on her new English record. Now, there was a Manx driver in the World Sidecar Championships for the first time in 14 years last weekend. Harry Payne made his debut at the comp in a wildcard spot he was given after being spotted at the British F2 Champs. It wasn't only the Manx man's first time in the World Championships, it was the first time he'd actually sat on a 1999 LCR sidecar bike. So, how did he find it?
It felt great. I mean, especially the last person to do it was Dave Molyneux, the last sidecar driver from the Isle of Man to compete in the World Championship. And it was actually, ironically, him that was encouraging me to take up this opportunity. It wasn't, in my eyes, possible to complete our bike in time. It was quite a lot of work to do, and, you know, I kind of sort of shrugged the idea off. But no, it was Dave that was really, really encouraging me to do it. And, you know, once I sort of listened and believed that I could do it and get it all ready in time, we just sort of got our heads down and got stuck into the project, and yeah, we got it finished in time, luckily.
And you went in as a wild card, you mentioned. So how did you actually get on?
Very well, yeah. There was a lot of people that before the event that didn't really think we should be there, you know, given that I'd never even ridden the bike before. So, yeah, I'm glad to say that we sort of surprised quite a few people with our speed. I always believed that I would be, you know, reasonable on it to start with. But having Mark as my passenger, who's the most recent winner of that world championship, I knew that I'd have a strong start, you know, with his experience telling me what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong, and how we can move forward. So, yeah, we got on reasonably well. I mean, the first practice session, our time was good enough for 12th place, which I was really happy with. But, you know, we started off with quite a few problems.
Could you sort of elaborate a little bit on some of the issues you had?
Yeah, so initially there was a problem with the front end of the bike, and I was getting a sort of wobble at high speed. But having never ridden one of these bikes, I just presumed that that's what they were like. So I kind of rode around that, and we also had a braking issue where the rear brake was locking on. And after five laps, the engine let go as well. So we were up against it, but that was just in the first practice. So we actually only got five laps to score that time of 12th place. And then we had a bit of a mad rush all day. We had to change an engine. We actually missed the first qualifying session completely because we didn't have the bike ready in time. And we got out in the second qualifying session. And that was... We only did six laps in that because everything went well and we scored a time that was good enough for 10th place on the grid. So I pulled it into the pits. I wanted to make sure that we were in that race. I didn't want to cause any more problems. We were down to our last engine. So I pulled it into the pits and we watched the time boards. We were about a second off of 9th place. I thought, you know, that's a big chunk to find. Let's just sit here. And yeah, we ended up finishing the session in 10th place. So I was over the moon starting my first world championship race from 10th from the grid. I'm sure we can go faster. I know we can go faster. I mean, we're only 1.5 seconds off of the current world champion, Tim Rees. And that's the first time we sat on it. So, yeah, I it couldn't have gone better for me, really.
And you can follow Harry's career and social media stalk to your heart's content via the team #45 Facebook page or on Harry's Instagram and Twitter. The links to all those sites can be found on our sports page at manxradio.com. Athletics, and my, has athletics been brimming with activity this year? There's been all sorts. Local leagues, fell running comps, award ceremonies, a plethora of Manx track and fielders bossing it in the UK, Commonwealth Games qualifiers, and British Championship medalists. But instead of me harping on and bending your ear, I will let David Griffiths from Isle of Man Athletics tell you a little bit more about it.
Well, this week we have the latest rounds of the SPA Isle of Man Track and Field League. It seems amazing that we've already had five rounds of a six-round series, so we're actually almost at the end of the league series. The one we had on Wednesday night was a little bit special in that we had one of our top athletes over the last few years competing, Sarah Aston, who of course is very well known as, these days, one of the best distance runners in the UK. Sarah was home for a week, just catching up with family and friends for the first time for about 18 months, I believe. And it was really nice to have Sarah competing down at the NSC on Wednesday night.
Manx athletes are just smashing it across at the moment. The amount of competitors you're seeing, you mentioned the English schools coming up in British championships and Olympic qualifiers. You know, you had Joe Harris, who got himself a silver medal by 1 centimetre, which is... You can't, as a spectator, you can't ask for much more than that, really, can you?
No, I mean, that was a fantastic achievement by Joe, but obviously there was probably a little bit of frustration as well that he missed out by such a narrow margin. He was actually leading the competition going into the last round with a throw of, it was in excess of 72 metres, I can't remember exactly what it was, and then he was pipped by 1 centimetre on the last throw, but still a fantastic performance by Joe, especially as he didn't compete at all last year with all the restrictions and all the cancellations last year. He hadn't competed for nearly 2 years until earlier on this season, so that was a fantastic achievement by him.
What a comeback, and a Commonwealth Games qualifier as well.
Absolutely. I think, I don't know exactly how many athletes we've got with a realistic chance of Commonwealth Games selection, but we're probably looking at getting close to double figures, I think. And it's across quite a number of different disciplines as well, which I think shows the strength and depth of the athletes that we have at the moment.
Fantastic stuff. And what has Manx Athletics got coming up in the coming week?
Well, actually this evening, and probably as this broadcast goes out, I think a lot of people will be heading down to Peel for the latest round of the Dave Phillips running series, which is has its headquarters on Peel Promenade. It has events for athletes from the under 9 age group upwards. The under 9s and the under 11s run on Peel Promenade itself, and the older athletes can choose either one lap or three laps round the Headlands course, which has a testing little hill up at the top of it. So that's coming up this evening, 7 o'clock that gets underway. And then tomorrow, down at the NSC, the track and field season continues. We're sort of into the part of the season where the clubs have their own championships, and on Saturday, tomorrow, it's the Northern AC Track and Field Championships, so that'll be pretty much all day, I think, down at the Sports Centre. And then on Wednesday, next week, we've got quite an exciting evening of athletics. Again, it's down at the NSC, but this one's on the roadway, and it's the 10-kilometre Isle of Man Road Walking Championships, and that's immediately followed by a 5-kilometre run again round the NSC roadway. And going back to last year's event, an athlete who I was going to mention this evening, Rachel Franklin, produced one of the most outstanding performances I think I've ever seen on the island in the 5K run last year, when she ran an incredible time of 15 minutes 42, which actually ranked her, I think, just outside the top 20 all time on the British rankings for 5 kilometre on the road. One of the reasons I wanted to mention Rachel is, obviously, a lot of our other athletes have been getting a great deal of publicity over the last few months. Rachel, over the last few months and over the winter months and into this year, has gone through every athlete's nightmare of having an injury problem, which has dragged on quite a bit. So Rachel hasn't actually competed since last October, but hopefully, fingers crossed, she's not too far away now. I know she's been working really hard to get back, and we're just, you know, we're all really looking forward to Rachel getting back to racing and hopefully, you know, continuing to challenge for a Commonwealth Games place next year alongside many others.
And just finally, if anyone would like to give athletics a go, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, really, through the local clubs. I think the three main clubs, certainly as far as track and field are concerned, are Northern AC, Western AC and Manx Harriers. So all three of those clubs have websites, they have Facebook pages where there's a lot of information. So the best thing to do is to contact the clubs directly through that. And it's basically, I think, children from probably about 6 or 7 years old onwards. I know some of the clubs do have a waiting list at the moment because athletics is obviously very popular at the moment. There are other disciplines as well, of course. Fell running, the minimum age, I think, for that is sort of around about the under 13 age group in the junior age groups, but Manx Fell Runners is the club to contact for that. One thing I would also say as well, although athletics is really booming as a sport at the moment with sort of record competitor numbers in most disciplines, the sport is always crying out for volunteers. So anybody who wants to help, whether it's a parent or anybody with an interest in the sport, whether it's just marshalling or whether it's something a little bit more involved where, you know, you'd have to have, you know, certain qualifications as maybe a track judge or a timekeeper or whatever, there are always people who will encourage you. There are always experienced officials around, and the sport desperately needs more officials. So again, contact event organisers, contact your club, and any help will not be turned away. I can guarantee that.
David Griffiths there. And if you like to keep up to date with all the latest athletics news, including vintage athletics news, actually, plus action shots and videos from the latest leagues, I cannot recommend following manxathletics.com on Facebook highly enough. Swear to God, they're not paying me to say that. It is superb. It has all things local athletics and local fell running on there. All the events, all the results, it's all there for you to sink your teeth into. Now, Sporting Club Isle of Man is throwing its support behind the biggest annual multi-sport event for young people on the island. The organisation will become the new headline sponsor of the Manx Youth Games from 2022 to 2024, marking the Games' 20th anniversary next year. I had the pleasure of speaking to Sporting Club's Ty Smith and MSR's Aaron Quinn and Gareth Lloyd about the new partnership.
The community feel and the ethos behind Sporting Club Isle of Man is a really, really good fit. So we'll be looking to involve schools more. How can we build on the product that we've already got? How can we involve pupils in maybe some potential rebranding and some early discussions that we've had around that? And this year for next year for the 2022 event, it will actually be the 20th edition of the games, the delivery of that event. So it's a really good time that we can try and build around that initiative.
Yeah, absolutely. I think from our side of things, you know, we've got an incredible respect for this project and for what's been achieved to date. One of the things I love about it, and, you know, I can speak from experience. So my son, when he first went to school, he was playing football traditionally. And then the rugby club were involved, so Ramsey Rugby Club, and, you know, they're a staunch supporter of the Manx Youth Games. And what I love is that piece of try a sport you don't normally play. I think that's brilliant, amazing, really, really good thing to do. And my son switched to rugby. He hasn't played football for years now because he got involved with rugby because of the Manx Youth Games, loved it so much, loved the sort of environment around that club, and he's just stuck with it. Yeah. You know, my daughter's coming through this age now, so, and I think that's one of the things that is really, really good. And as you quite rightly say, it's a legacy thereafter. Yeah. You know, how many kids do actually get involved in sport? And for us, you know, like, we've got the top end of the sporting club objectives around, you know, setting up the teams and making sure that those athletes and the elite athletes have got an opportunity to go and achieve at a higher level through team sports and the clubs that we create, like FC Isle of Man, like Cycling Club Isle of Man. But at the same point, we've got to go, okay, the inlet has to happen somewhere, and that's that youth level, isn't it? You know, that's where the next generation of those
kids... Well, it sounds like, you know, you're keeping an eye on the grassroots level, eyes on the future. Then you've got a whole new level of depth to what Sporting Club Isle of Man can achieve in terms of elite athletes on the island.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's twofold to this. I think there is that and the facilitation of opportunity. That's it. It's first and foremost, get the kids in the first place. Yeah. And then also making sure we focus on not just those that are the elite. It's about involvement and participation for all, you know, and that's the thing is, whichever way we skin this, there's just a win at the end of it, because if we can get those kids involved in sport and they go on to perform and become elite, then that's great for the island and great for us as a community. If we can get those kids involved in sport and it's just better for their health and well-being and their own personal confidence, you know, all of the positives that come out of being involved in team sport, of, you know, teamwork, learning to win, learning to lose, you know, dealing with failure and success gracefully, and, you know, with sort of humbleness, all of these things, you know, I think there is no losing that situation.
And also opportunity for things, because Manx Youth Games introduced BMX this year, and for some families, they might not be able to afford BMX lessons for their kids and stuff like that. So Manx Youth Games really seems to be an inclusive environment where all kids can have the same experience and find out what they love and what's not for them.
Yeah, for us, it's around that mass participation, and it's around more people, more active, more often, and it's about the healthy lifestyle and the healthy choices that young people can make. And one of the key differences from this event to other events that we looked at in the UK when we established this event in 2002 was, rather than just having the day itself, what can we do beforehand? So it's the involvement of all the training sessions, the criteria around, let's try different sports. You can actually take part in two different sports up until certain times throughout the year. It's about teamwork, and it's about that involvement and participation. And like Ty touched upon there, trying a sport potentially that you've never had the opportunity to do in school, or if you're a member of a football club, let's go and try something different. And that's really key.
So you introduced BMX this year. Are there any plans to introduce any other new sports coming up?
There's always that potential there for sports to get involved in the Manx Youth Games. But what we look at is the kind of that structure of the sport. So it's all very well and good that they come down and, you know, have a great day taking part in an activity at the Manx Youth Games event itself. But where do they go after that? What structures are in place for them to take part in community sports? What clubs can they go to in training sessions? So for sports to get involved, it's have they got that structure in place? Have they got weekly training sessions? And where can we signpost the young people to in the community so they can remain active after taking part in the event?
And have you got some examples of sports where that's been a struggle?
A success story, I suppose, really would be handball, in that they were looking for quite some time to get involved in the Manx Youth Games, but didn't have that structure that I've just spoken about. And through working with UCM, they've delivered some handball courses and coaching education through the young people doing sports at UCM, and established those clubs. So now that they've got the qualified coaches in place, they've got the club structure in place, they've got involved in the youth games, and they've now got that influx of young people who can go through and take part in handball in the community.
The 20th anniversary, how have you seen
the Manx Youth Games develop over that time or your time with it? And also, what would you like to see in terms of progression going forward?
First and foremost, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. It's flown by, and the planning never stops. As soon as one event finishes, the planning and preparation starts for the next year. It's about providing those opportunities. It's about keeping sports involved, making sure that the access for the young people to take part in those sports is really, really simple. It's really easy. It's accessible and open to all. And I think that really sits well with the new sponsor and sporting club coming on board, in that their ethos around the community involvement is, I think that's something that we can really build upon in the coming years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things you just touched on there, Rhiannon, and it's something I think that is like really close to all of our hearts in this one, which is, you know, we believe staunchly that, you know, finance should never be a barrier to entry ever. And I think that is one of the real key ones in that. So, you know, we will be doing everything we possibly can to make sure that all of the games are as accessible to everybody as they possibly can be.
The training sessions were in 2002, where it was a pound. You bring a pound along to the training session, and that money, those pounds go back to the sport. So, you know, each sport may get a few hundred pounds from January through to March for those young people, but it's still a pound. It's still a pound now, so, you know, 20, 21 years on.
Thank you very much to Ty Smith, Aaron Quinn and Gareth Lloyd there. And to round us off, it was foiled by Mananan's cloak last weekend, but the postponed Manx Three Peaks is looking back on track for this Sunday. That's the 11th of July. Entries are closed, so there's no new competitors being taken on, but those who are already signed up and ready to go will take on North Barul, Snaefell and Benny Pot. It's one of the many sporting events being put on by the Children's Centre to help boost funds for the charity. Organisers Sharon Connor and Jane Howland from the organisation say there aren't, besides the weather hopefully, any changes in the setup for the rescheduled event this weekend.
Mananan's cloak hit us, unfortunately. Yeah, we got up on Sunday morning, raring to go. We met here at the farm. Weather was a bit grim. It was drizzling, it was foggy, a bit misty. So we headed straight away up to the bungalow, and as a team, the four of us made the joint decision that it just wasn't safe enough for participants to be trekking up and down the peaks on that day.
And yet you still had a couple of participants who did take it upon themselves, their own responsibility, to give it a go. And they kept you updated, didn't they, Jane, throughout the process?
Yes, we had a few friends that took part, some of our netball girls. They decided they were going to go ahead, but they did at their own risk, but they kept in touch with us. So I knew when they were on each peak, and told them for extra care when crossing over by Black Hut. And they achieved it. They were down in sunny Laxey, apparently, by the time they finished at 2:30, but hadn't seen a single peak because of the mist on each of the peaks.
Yeah, well, I saw one of their Instagram stories and it was literally like, oh, they all look the same. So coming up, it's been postponed to this weekend. Entries aren't open. So is there any new information that people who are going to be taking part need to know?
No, I think it's the same as the plans were before. We're going to set off from Ramsey at 9 o'clock in the morning. All our marshals and volunteers are luckily available again this week, so that's allowed us to continue this week. We've also got the relevant permissions as well for it all to take place. So no, hopefully we've had a little word with the powers that be, and I think the sun is going to shine this weekend.
The lovely Sharon Connor and Jane Howland there. Jane Howland actually showed me around the Children's Centre earlier this week, and I must say, it's quite lovely up there. Delightful goats with no idea of personal space, which was fine with me. And with that slightly odd-sounding note about me getting intimate with goats, that's all from me and Friday Sport Preview. So until next week, good luck in all your sporting endeavours, have a fun weekend, and I will speak to you soon. You stay classy, Isle of Man.